Well, sermon for this morning comes from the book of Colossians. So if you have a copy of God's word, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Would you pray with me as we prepare for the reading and the hearing of God's word? Lord, our God, we thank you for your living word. Oh Lord, you are the God who is in heaven, seated on the throne, but you are also the God who is near to us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we have come because we are a people needy and in need of your grace, in need, Lord, and hungry for the transformation that comes through your word and the renewing of our minds. So, Lord, we ask for your grace this morning. We ask for the work of the Holy Spirit through that word. Lord, would you renew our minds through the truth of the gospel? And I ask, Lord, that you would be with your servant as I preach, that you would grant to me clarity and power. And Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see Christ this morning, that you would give us ears to hear his word, and that you would give us hearts that are open to receive that word. And so we ask all of these things in his precious name. Amen. At Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, going through verse 11. Hear now God's holy, inspired, and perfect, inerrant word. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Well, Christian brothers and sisters, let me tell you this morning, you died and went to heaven. And I don't mean that you had some outer body experience last night. I doubt anybody here had something like that. But what the Bible tells us is that you, brothers and sisters, if you are in Christ, who you once were died with Jesus on the cross, and you have been raised with him, and you are with Christ in heaven, with God the Father. And so here this morning, you are a new person, and you have a new identity. And that's what the thrust of this passage here this morning is. You have a new identity, as though as a new person alive in Christ. Maybe you came this morning and you have struggled with sin this week, and you see sin and you've been on the brink of just giving up and saying, it's no use even fighting because all I am is a sinner. This message, this passage is for you to say, no, that is not you. For you died and you've been raised with Christ. Or maybe you're here this morning and you have just kind of not thought much about Jesus. And you feel like you're just kind of just getting along from one day to the next. And all of these, the talk about Jesus Christ and his being in the heavens, being raised from the dead, and the hope of glory, all of those things just kind of seem like distant dreams that you forget about. This message is for you, to remind you, this is what's real. You are a new person, and you are seated with Christ in the heavens. Now, as we look at this passage, we're going to kind of focus in on that truth, that you are a new person in him. You have a new identity, and you are with Christ. But first, we're going to see the encouragement to seek, right, to set your mind on those truths. Secondly, we're going to see that in light of those truths, you're called to put to death. And then thirdly, the encouragement to live new as you are. So first, set your mind on this reality in Christ. Look again at the beginning of verse 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Now this passage begins with that word if, but really, if you are a Christian here, the word there really is since you have been raised with Christ. This is not a call to kind of say, well, I don't know, maybe I'm not, maybe I've been raised with Christ, maybe not, I don't know, today, yesterday I felt like it was, today I don't. No, since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Since you have been raised with Christ. Now, one of the themes of the book of Colossians, really, if I was to pick out one theme, or you to pick out one theme, the Colossians, or one phrase to kind of summarize the message, it would be in Christ. In Christ. And what this means is that, right, if you are connected to Jesus by faith, everything that's true about Christ is also true about you. It means you were united to Christ by faith. So that what's true of him is true of you. Now, what's true of Jesus? First, that Jesus died. Right? That's at the heart of the gospel, that Jesus died on the cross. So if you are in Christ, it means that you also died with him. And that's what we see here in verse 3. For you have died. The old you that loved sin. The old you that was living for yourself. The old you that was full of nothing but corrupt desires for sin. The old you that took pleasure and delight, right, in the taste of sin. That person who stood condemned under the law, the righteous holy law of God, died with Jesus. And secondly, Christ didn't stay dead. He didn't stay buried. But on the third day, he rose again. And when Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus rose in resurrection glory. Not with a weak body that was tired and grew hungry, but he rose with resurrection glory in the newness of life. And so you also, brothers and sisters, you Christian, you were raised with Christ. And when you came out of the grave, you came out spiritually alive as a new creation. And so if you're here this morning, right, and you love the Lord Jesus, and you love his words, because it's his word are the words of your precious Savior. Guess what? That's the testimony that you are alive. That wasn't who you once were. By nature, we seek ourselves. By nature, we're at enmity with God because we have our agenda and we don't want God to get in the way of our agenda. But you died
and you were raised as a new person. But Jesus didn't just rise from the dead. He spent 40 days with his disciples, speaking to them. And then what happened after those 40 days? He ascended back to the Father and to the heavens. And so here, you have ascended with Jesus into the heavens. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, what does this mean, to be hidden in Christ with God? Well, there's two aspects to that. First, your life is hidden means who you are is not yet been fully revealed, is not fully manifest, or you can't see fully who you are now because you're hidden with Christ in God. You know, when the sun goes behind the clouds, it's hidden from your view. Now, when the clouds hide the sun, it doesn't mean that the sun is not there. I love, I remember the first time that I took an airplane. It was a cloudy day, and we were sitting on the runway, and I'm thinking, you know, it's kind of a dreary, cloudy day. And because the sun was hidden, but as the plane took off and began to go through the clouds, it reached this point where it broke through the clouds, and all of a sudden, you could see, right, the sun and its brightness and glory, and nothing but blue, blue around you and above you. The sun is really there, but you just can't see it when the clouds are covering. So to be hidden in Christ means who you are as holy and pure is not yet seen to you. You're sitting here this morning and saying, well, you know, I know the thoughts have been going through my head this week. I know the things that have come out of my mouth. How can you tell me that I'm pure? Well, that's what the Bible says. Because in Christ, you were purified by his blood. The old you died, and you've been raised with him. You're seated with him. And so who you are is hidden with Christ and God. Just waiting to be revealed in its glory. Because right now, you and I live in what some theologians call the already not yet. You've already, right, been sanctified by Jesus. But you don't yet see the full glory of that sanctification because you and I are living in this present body of death. So we have this struggle and we see remnants of the old man popping up. But this is an encouragement to you, brothers and sisters. You are hidden with Christ in God. You're raised with him. You are new. You are holy. You're seated with him. So that's what it means to be hidden. First, who you are has not yet been revealed. But it will be revealed. But secondly, to be hidden with Christ and God means you are safe. You're protected. Where is Christ right now? He is in the heavens at the right hand of the Father. And so because you're hidden with him, you cannot be snatched away from Christ. You cannot be snatched away from God. And that's what Jesus told his disciples in John. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and I will never cast them out. And no one can snatch them out of my hand. So maybe this week you've been struggling with assurance, and you see the battle with sin, and you think, well, maybe I'm just going to sin one more time, and it's going to be one too many, and the Lord is going to cast me off. No, you are hidden with Christ in God, which means nothing can separate you. Satan and his evil schemes cannot snatch you out of the Father's hands. So you're hidden with Christ in God. Who you are is not yet manifest, but no one can snatch you from your hands,
which means you will be glorified with Christ one day, and that is your hope. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's the glorification. You can't yet see Christ with your physical eyes. We know that he is here, and if you've been raised with him, you've heard his voice speaking to you through his word, and you know that Jesus is Lord. You know that Jesus is alive, but you can't see him yet with your eyes. I love the way Peter puts it in 1 Peter. Jesus, whom you love, though you do not see him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you love him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. Right? Though you do not now see him, but one day you will, and because Christ is going to come back and Christ is going to be revealed in all of his glory, and everything opposed to Christ, all of his enemies, sin, Satan, right? The flesh, right? All of those will be fully and finally removed from all creation when Christ comes in his glory.
But when Christ appears in his glory, then you and I will appear with him. Sin will be no more. And that is your glorious hope.
So those are the realities. But Paul tells us to set your minds on those things.
Why do we struggle with sin? Why does sin at times seem to get the upper hand in our lives? Well, it begins to feel like it's getting the upper hand when we lose our vision and when our eyes lose focus on Jesus Christ. Look at again at verse 1. Since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Seek the things that are above. Now, what does it mean, right, to seek the things that are above? Or what are the things that are above? The things that are above are the things that are real, spiritually real, but you can't yet see with your eyes. The things that are lasting. Who's above? Jesus is above. So seek Jesus. Who's above? You, in your holy state, are above, seated with Christ. So set your mind on who you are in Christ, holy and beloved. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth.
Where is your mind set through the week?
Do you set your things on the things of earth or the things above?
Now, Paul here contrasting the things that are above and the things that are on earth. He's not contrasting things that are kind of just vague and immaterial, and the things on the earth are the things that are real, things that you can taste, touch, and see.
No, when he's saying, right, the things that are above are the priceless treasures, the eternal things, the things connected to the kingdom of Christ, the things that are not passing away. Right?
Pure and true love for God and for your brothers and sisters is
eternal. It's lasting. It's not passing away.
The desires of the flesh, the pride of life, those things are passing away.
So he's contrasting the things that are eternal, the things that are not passing away, with the things that are passing away because they are corrupt. So where do you set your mind?
You all have, or many of you I know have iPhones, and maybe you've checked your screen time. How much time do I spend on these different apps? And you can go on your phone and you can
you can check out where your attention has been. How much time, how much time do you have spent viewing the things that are above, looking at Christ, considering who he is and who you are in him? How do you set your mind on the things above? You meditate. Think about who you are in Christ. Think about where Christ is now. You set your mind by spending time in the Word, spending time gazing at Christ in his Word and hearing about what he has done, hearing about who you are, hearing about your calling. You set your mind on family worship, through family worship. When you're gathered around the table at a meal and you open up the Scriptures and you read it and you pray, you set your mind on the things that are above. When you talk about these things with one another, you set your mind on things above. So set your mind on Christ where you are. Set your mind on him. Set your mind on yourselves and who you are in him. So seek the things that are above, number one. But number two, given that you died with Christ, given that you've been raised with him, given that you are a new person in him, you're called to put to death. Look at verse 6. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Now, it's a little strange, right? It sounds a little strange. And Paul here is saying, you died. The old you is dead. Great. But now he says, therefore, put to death. Well, wait a minute. Did we die, or do we still need to put to death? How can he tell us to put to death if we've already died with Christ? Well, to put to death here is the idea of cutting off the things that are a part of the old person that died with Jesus. So yes, you really died with him. The old you is dead in the grave, and that's why there is no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. But in this present life, we still have remnants of that old dead person still clinging to us. Some of you might be familiar with the pin oak. It's a kind of oak tree, and maybe you have some on your property. But the pin oak is a tree whose leaves go brown in the fall, just like the rest of the trees in the woods here. But it's different because the leaves on the pin oak don't fall in the autumn. So maybe you've seen those oak trees that in the middle of the winter, they're still filled with these old dead leaves. Now, those leaves are really dead, and that's why they're brown. But they're still clinging on. And that's your sin. That's your old man if you are a Christian. You still have the remnants clinging on to you. But remember, those remnants are dead. They really are dead. But they need to be cast off as part of the old dead man. So what are these things that need to be put off or cast off? The things that are earthly in you. And he gives a list here: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On the count of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Now, what are these things? I think we kind of understand what some of these are. Sexual immorality is clear. Impurity, the things that are associated with sexual immorality. Passion. What is passion? Here he's not talking about just zeal. Someone says, well, he's really passionate for the Lord. He's not saying, well, you need to be a stoic and just not really have emotion. But the passion there is defiling passion or evil desires. Another way it could be translated. That is, those urges that are kind of deep in your gut, the desire to give yourself that to give yourself over to something.
You're losing control. Passion, evil desire. Sorry, passion
and an evil desire and covetousness. What is covetousness? Covetousness is something that I think I need. It's the lusting after something that you don't have. And that's what this, the sexual immorality and the purity and passion and evil desire comes out of thinking, I need this thing. I need this thing. And that's why he says here that covetousness is idolatry. Idolatry. So kind of what holds together all of those earthly things, the sexual immorality, the impurity, the passion, evil desire, what holds them together is the idolatry, thinking that I need something now that I don't have. Now, what is idolatry? What is an idol? An idol is something that you hunger or thirst for more than you hunger and thirst for God. That's what an idol is. It's not just a little statue. Sometimes as moderns, we read idols and we think about, you know, maybe people from other parts of the world or in parts of history who have little carved things that they set up and bow down to. But an idol is anything that you hunger and thirst for more than you hunger and thirst for God. And idols can be desires for things that are not inherently evil. Idols can be desires, right, for your a desire for your children to behave, or even for a friend to be saved. An idol can be for a brother or sister to be different than they are. Those things are not sinful, inherently sinful. But when they become an ultimate thing, and you say, I must have this, or I cannot live, that is an idol. I must have this thing, or I can't live. I remember a hearing a few years ago, I was at a Panera and heard one of those love songs from the 80s, you know, this. And I was thinking, oh, that's kind of those cheesy love songs, you know, oh, I just can't live without you. And all of a sudden it hit me, wow, that is pure idolatry. You and I should never say of anything other than God himself, I just can't live without you. I just can't live without this thing. But that's what an idol is. And when you can't live without that thing, then the other sin pours forth from it. Look at how it continues here. Right, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. The idol, when you want this thing, then you say, well, I must have this thing, so I'll lie if I need to get it. Or I'll mistreat someone if I need to get it. Or if someone gets in the way of what I want, then I will get angry because I need this thing. So if I need my children to behave, and if they don't, right, that's my ultimate thing. Then when they start acting up, now they're getting in the way of this thing that I think I need, and so I blow up at them. It all flows from the idolatry. But here's the exhortation. All those things you must put off, put away, put to death, and cast them off. Like the pin oak with its leaves. Those things, you died. They're not a part of the true you anymore. But now, because of that, you must put them off. Now, if you know that pin oak, and if you have someone on your property, you will know, when does the pin oak shed those dead leaves? It's actually not in the fall, but it's in the spring. Because when the spring comes and the new leaves begin to shoot out, then the new leaves coming out is what pushes off the old things. the old leaves, the old dead leaves. And so it is with you and I. As we begin to live as we are in Christ, then those old things, the old earthly things in us, are cast off, which brings us to the last point here. Live new, right, as you are. Look here at verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And that old self could all be also be translated the old man. So put to death these things, cast them off, seeing that you have put off the old self, the old man, and all of its earthly practices, and have put on the new self. Now notice here, Paul's not saying, he doesn't say, okay, you need to now put off the old man, and you need to put on the old man. He says, right, seeing that you have, this is definitive, it already happened. The old you died with Jesus. And when you were raised with him, you were raised as a new person with a new identity. You are a new creation. Behold, the old, right, has passed away, right? The new has come. The old has passed away. And so there again, set your mind on who you are in Christ. But that new self is being renewed. So you are a new person, but now Christ is in the process of renewing that person. And as he's renewing that new person, he begins to display his character in you more and more. Look here at verse, at the end of verse 9, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. How do you begin to display the new person? And again, there's a famous sermon which is written to a booklet called by an old pastor called The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. In other words, as you struggle with sin, you can't put off the old practices by just simply telling yourself, okay, I got to stop doing it. No, I got to stop doing it. I'm not going to do that. But those old desires are expelled. That is, they're put off, they're cast off when as they are being replaced by new desires and a new affection. And first and foremost, it's a new desire, a new affection for Christ and a love for him. And as you grow in your love for Christ, who you are, the new you, begins to show itself more and more. And your desire and appetite for sin begins to diminish. Now, how do you grow in your love for Christ? By setting your eyes on him. Simply by getting to know him. Because Christ is glorious. He is an amazing Savior. Christ is eminently lovable because he is eminently lovely. And so, set your mind on Christ. The new self, he says, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. How do we grow in our affections for Christ? By getting to know him more. And so you grow as you grow in the knowledge of Christ. And as you grow in the knowledge of him, you grow in the knowledge of what he has called you to and how he has called you to live. And we don't have time this morning to go into the rest of the following verses. But as he goes on in verse 12 and following, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, and so on. What's Paul doing? He's describing the new you. And he's describing not only the new you, but he's describing who Christ is. And so as you go home today, as you go home this week, meditate on verses 12 and following. Meditate on those qualities that show us who Christ is. And as you meditate on those things, then you will begin to display those characters, and your love for Christ will grow. So, this is the message from Colossians for you this morning. You have been raised with Christ, brothers and sisters. You've been raised with him. The old you died. The new you was brought out of the grave. Therefore, put to death those things. Cast off who you no longer are. Cast off the things that so, the sins of the old man that still cling to you, knowing that that old you is dead. And begin to live now new as you are in Christ. And you'll grow in him as you set your mind on him. So set your mind on Jesus today. Set your mind on the things that he has done for you. Set your mind on the things that are true, that you can't yet see with their physical eyes, but will be revealed in all their glory. In a moment, we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. But as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we set our minds on Christ, that we might be renewed by him. Praise the Lord for the truths of the gospel. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this word and for these realities that Jesus died and was raised, and that we are hidden with him in you. And so, Lord, I ask that you would strengthen your people, that you would help us to set our minds on Christ, that we would see what is really true. And we pray that even this week, Lord, you would renew your people in knowledge after your image. And we ask all these things that Jesus might be glorified in us. And it's in him we pray. Amen.